as believers to become distracted and misled by the feelings of our heart, our emotions, the circumstances of life, and allow that to dictate, to us what exactly. Let me turn on that little mic, Brother Andrew. That'd be good. Allow that to dictate to us what we're to do, and where we're to go, and how we're to act. And if there's one thing that I can encourage you in as a pastor, and my greatest delight is seeing people find the will of God and do it. I mean, it's a blessing. Just as think of it even with your own children. What a blessing it is to see a child as they grow older find the will of God and do it, and allow God to work through them, and let His grace be manifest in their life. And sometimes the will of God is not always in alignment with what we think it ought to be, is it? His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts, says God. And it's good to be reminded of that. 1 Kings 17, and I'm going to ask you if you're able, let's stand together. We're just going to read the first 7 verses here. And I've actually preached on this before, and I believe what the Lord had have me preach on again tonight. 1 Kings 17, starting in verse number 1. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. The Bible says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith." It's actually Cherith. That is before Jordan. "And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass, after a while, that the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land. And then we see lastly, verse 8, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying," and gives him the next portion of instruction. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that as believers we can be assured that when we seek your will, when we ask and seek after wisdom from above, that we can be assured to receive it. Lord, as we ask in faith, as we desire to live lives of faith, Lord, we will not be disappointed. And I thank you for the promises of your word in that regard. Thank you for this illustration of Elijah and the place where you put him. And Lord, how you did great and mighty things there. I ask for your help tonight, Lord. I thank you for how you have blessed today the hearts that have been touched, those that have heard the gospel, as well as the truths of your word that was proclaimed. And I need your help again tonight. I am feeble of mouth and mind. And Lord, I need you to take the message that you've given us and to make it real and to apply it, and to bring us to a place where we are willing and ready to make decisions for you. I ask for your power. I ask for liberty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you could be seated. I want to preach a message that I've entitled, God's There. God's There. We'll notice verse number 4. The word of God came to Elijah. And this is the chapter which we find Elijah coming on the scene. If you remember back, I don't know, maybe about a year ago or a little less, we preached a series of messages about Elijah. And we know Elijah was really not anyone special. He was a backwoodsman. As you see there in verse number 2, he was of the inhabitants of Gilead. Gilead was not a metropolitan area, but rather sort of the back hills, as we would think of it. Rough sort of folks. But he was God's man, and he was led by God. And I appreciate that God is no respecter of persons. In fact, often through history, the men and women you find God using the greatest are those who are the lowliest among us. Well, what a blessing that is, that God is not looking for someone who has a name, or someone who has necessarily talent, or even someone who is popular. He's just looking for someone who will do His will, who will follow His word.
And I find great comfort in that as a Christian, as a pastor. And Elijah was that kind of man. He was a Tishbite. He was of the inhabitants of Gilead. And we see God using him to declare a truth, to declare God's judgment upon Israel, upon Ahab, because of the sin of the people, the sin of the king, and that there would be no dew or rain until Elijah said so. And of course, being led by God, it was until God said so. After Elijah declares that to Ahab, you look at verse number 2, God comes to him again and speaks to him again and gives him very specific instructions. In verse number 3, he says, "Get thee hence." He says, "Get out of here and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith," that is, before Jordan. And we see in verse number 4, God then gives to Elijah a great promise. He says, "And there by that brook, what will happen?" He says, "You'll drink of the brook," and he says, "I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there." You know, in every Christian, God has a there for you. He has a there for me. He has a place of ministry. Sometimes it can be a place of rest. Sometimes it can be a place of prayer. But my friends, God has a place for you. God has a will for you and I. If there's anything that you should strive and desire to know, it is the will of God. I want you to take and your Bibles. Let's start in Psalm 40. Psalm chapter 40. And I want you to read what the sweet psalmist of Israel writes here. Psalm 40. David recounting the deliverance and the grace of God. Speaks of how that God delivered him and brought him up out of a horrible pit. He then goes on to describe the fruits of being a recipient of the grace of God. Boy, I tell you, I just can't get away from the message last week where we preached on Mephibosheth and Amazing Grace. I heard a song, the new CD we got has a song that speaks of Mephibosheth, of the grace he received. And oh man, To be a recipient of grace, what a blessing. And to know that His grace is not a one-time thing, Michael, but the unmerited favor of God is something ongoing and continual. And it's never in a place where it is unavailable. It's only unavailable if we refuse to receive it, refuse to rely upon it. God giveth grace to the humble. He says in verse 40, he says this in verse number 7, he said, "Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." He goes on saying how he preached righteousness in the great congregation. He had not, "Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I delight to do thy will, Oh my God." That should be the heart cry of every Christian here tonight. To say, "God, I delight in doing Your will. That is my joy and my desire, not to do mine own will." But as Jesus said, He came to do the will of the Father, the will of the One who sent Him. And that ought to be the heart cry of every Christian. "Lord, show me, teach me Your will, so that I delight to do so." Go, if you would, to Psalm 143. Psalm 143. All prayers of David set to song. And we see here in Psalm 143, the Bible says, in verse number 9, David calls upon the Lord Jehovah. He says, "Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto Thee to hide me." Verse 10, "Teach me to do Thy will, for Thou art my God. Thy Spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for Thy name's sake. For Thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. and of thy mercy cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul. For I am thy, this is key, servant. You say, Pastor, I want to know the will of God. I want to make sure that I'm in the perfect will of God. My friends, it begins with the heart desire. It begins with a Christian ourselves hungering and thirsting after the will of God and desiring that more than anything else. Praying to God, O Lord, teach me. Teach me to do Thy will. Show me Your path. Lead me in the ways of righteousness. Quicken me, O Lord. Ultimately, to know the will of God begins in the spirit of humility. A spirit that cries out, I am thy servant, and nothing more, and nothing less. Is there any greater calling than to be the servant of the Most High God? To be not just the servant, but as we have described and so aptly considered, the child of the Most High God. An heir, and a joint heir with Christ at that. As Paul says to the Ephesians, be ye followers of God as dear children. Considering the there, going back to our text, I believe we see that. I believe the reason God's will came to Elijah in such a clear manner. And while the text doesn't specifically give us the spiritual temperature of Elijah's life, I think because of other scriptures, we know that Elijah sought the will of God. I think that's why God called him to go to Ahab. Because he knew he could depend upon Elijah. Elijah was the servant of God. We see that demonstrated in the actions after God's word comes to him. Verse number 3, God says, go to Cherith. And what does Elijah do in verse number 5? So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. I don't think it's any mistake that the Bible aptly says what? He went and did according to the word of the Lord. He didn't just go and, you know, detour himself around and say, well, I'll get around to it when I get a chance. No, Elijah recognized himself as he is. He is a servant of God. Listen to me tonight. We're all servants of the Lord. We're children of God. And what a blessing and what a privilege that is. But let us never forget that. We're not here to serve ourselves. It's easy to be that way, though, isn't it? Our flesh, as I preached this morning, is entirely self-serving. Mamas, you're God's servant in your home. The children that you have, God has entrusted those to you. Daddies, you're God's servant in the home. The wife and the children that God has blessed you with, God has given them to you, and you are to be a steward of those children. They're given from God. They're a gift from God. And to think in this way that, you know what, I'm just simply a steward. I'm simply a servant. God has given me these children. They're not mine. Ultimately, they're the Lord's. And that's hard to come to, isn't it? It's hard to think that way. But it's truth. It's humbling, isn't it? To think, Brother Matt, that Emma and Junior and whatever baby Matt is going to be, baby voice, God has given them to you. Given them to me. I'm a goof. I think of that. Most of what I touch gets messed up. Why would God do that to me? Why would God give me these children? He must believe that by His grace we can raise them for Him. I'm God's servant. We looked in the book of Ephesians how that we are, in the book of Colossians, we are to serve our masters as we serve the Lord at our workplaces. That would help our attitudes, wouldn't it? If instead of seeing ourselves as serving some corporation or serving some boss, Rather, I am serving God, and this is the there in which He has placed me. And I'm going to faithfully serve Him there. And I'm going to act as hard as it is sometimes. I'm going to treat my boss and my co-workers and the company that God has placed me in, I'm going to treat them as if I'm serving the Lord. I'm not saying that we do things that are dishonoring to God. Certainly not. But I'm serving God, and I'm going to live that way. If we go back to our text, I want to get to 4 points tonight. Number one, you need to find God's will. And the only way God's will is going to come to you if you're humble enough to seek it. Humble enough to cry out to God, teach me to do your will. Humble enough to say to God, God, as He says in the book of James chapter 1, I lack wisdom. I understand. I have some knowledge, but Father, I lack the ability to apply it. I lack the ability to apply the knowledge that I've been given through Your Word and the limited understanding I have. And Lord, I need wisdom to do the right thing. I need wisdom to act the right way. I need wisdom to know what is Your will. Oftentimes, Christians, I think, view the will of God as the carrot on the stick. Right? You've ever seen that illustration where how do you get the donkey to move forward? You take the stick, you put the carrot just in front of his nose, and he's always pressing for the carrot, never ever able to reach it. A lot of people, I think, see God's will that way, that it's some sort of carrot upon a stick, and God is just dangling it just out of reach, and we're never able to truly know His will. That's a lie. You can know God's will. What a blessing it is. I'm sure you've been there. I've been there. Man, to get a hold of the will of God, to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is Your will, and to do it, and to see God's hand of blessing upon it, even if it is because, and it results in trials and tribulations, to know this is Your will. To have comfort in that knowledge. But it only comes to those who are willing to look for it, humble enough to listen, willing to ask for wisdom. Let's go to our text. Number one, there's four things that you'll find in God's will. Number one, you will find God's provision in His will. There's a quaint little saying, where God guides, He provides. I'm always reminded of that. And I've seen it. I've seen where, as we were doing what we thought to be the will of God, it came to a point where the provisions were removed. And it was at the same very same time that God began to move in other directions and began to lead in other directions. I've seen also where we've gone into something and we started doing something and thought, man, where are we going to get the means necessary to accomplish it? And it's just like God opens the windows of heaven. And the provisions are made available like that. Wasn't that a blessing? You yourselves have testimonies like that, don't you? I think of Brother Robert. Not that it's been easy, but you know, he made the choice. I'm going to be at church on Sunday, even though I have to work, and the Lord provided. And you know what? Even though it's been difficult, and even though there are trials even ongoing, God has provided. That's a blessing. Where God guides, He provides. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, I don't want to be where God's not providing. I've provided for myself, and I'm always coming up short. It's important to find the will of God. You say, but I don't like it. It's uncomfortable. It's fraught with trials. Is He providing? Yes. Then stay right there. Until He leads and guides you elsewhere. We see that happening in Elijah's life. God's promise of provision is even given in the instructions that He gives to Elijah. I already read it, but in verse number 4, He says, you'll drink of the brook, which is nothing spectacular in and of itself, but He says this, He says, I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. And again, I'm just maybe surmising, but I'm wondering if Elijah had experienced this miraculous provision before. I don't see him reacting in any. I don't know. If God came to me and said, listen, don't worry about going to Winco this week. We're going to send some birds. They're going to drop the food off at your table. You're like, well, Lord, Elijah was backwoods man. He was a hunter, wasn't he? He was very capable of providing for himself, I would imagine. But God said, no, don't worry about Elijah. I want you to go to this brook. And not only are you not going to need to hunt, I'm going to bring the food to you using these ravens. I get the sense that Elijah, this was not something new to Elijah. Or maybe it was. But I love the spirit of Elijah. He just went. He didn't wonder and second guess God and say, well, God, what are you going to do? And even if God hadn't provided in this exact method before, I believe Elijah had learned previously to depend on God. He had seen God provide in the midst of His will. And so it was not a far-fetched idea for God to say, listen, go to this brook and I'll take care of you. He says, well, you've done it in the past. I don't see why you won't do it now. Faith. The faith was not in some sort of nebulous idea, mystical revelation, but rather in the direct Word of God. God said, go, I'll take care of it. And Elijah said, yes, sir, I'll go. Christian, you can be assured that when you're in the midst of the will of God, and oftentimes God's provisions, I'm sure Elijah, you know, I don't know what the ravens, unless they were some big old birds, they probably just brought just enough to sustain. You know, Elijah being a hunter probably was used to going out and having plenty of to eat and plenty of game. Sometimes the provision God gives us isn't all that we want. Sometimes we wish we had more, but we have to learn to be content and say, God, You are providing. And what a blessing. Isn't it exciting God provides? And even though it may not be exactly what we would choose or want, it came from Him. That makes it all the more special to know God gave us this. Number two, in the midst of God's will, God's there. There's provision, but there's protection. There's protection. It would have made more sense for Elijah to remain on the scene, to continually make his presence known to Ahab, to be a reminder of the judgment that had been pronounced, that for however long, for years, it's not going to rain, for months, it's not going to rain. You better get right with God, Ahab. But God said, no. God knew. He knew that there would be after a time, as the water stopped flowing, and the drought began to overtake the land, that Elijah would be a wanted man. God said, you know what? I want you to go stay by the brook. Because there I'll protect you. Wow. There I'll keep you. You see, if you go on, and he stayed there until the brook dried up, until the drought had taken hold, and then God moved him on. But I believe there, God provided protection. Ahab's men, Ahab's armies were not able to find him because God's hand was upon him. You want God's protection? Get in His will. Get in His will. You know, a lot of times, and I'm not one to say that we shouldn't prepare ourselves and defend ourselves, but my friends, let me say this. God will keep you in His will. God will provide and God will protect you in His will. Won't He? I love how, if you get a chance, whether you agree or disagree, Stonewall Jackson, one of the greatest generals of the Civil War, of course shot down early by his own men because of the discipline that the lines had. But anyway, here he is. And he was given the name Stonewall, and I've used this illustration before, and I there's so many different things. He was the kind of man who was so convinced that what he did was the will of God, and so convinced of God's protection and provision as he did His will, he was unafraid of the enemy bullets. Unafraid of what might come his way, and he would ride ramrod straight in his saddle into the heat of battle upon his horse. Why? He's crazy. And you may, maybe a little. But it wasn't because he was someone who had great bravado or bravery, but rather someone who trusted in the will of God and trusted in God's protection. You read his own words. He was a deeply spiritual man. I believe, oh believer, regardless of what side you fall upon in that conflict, my friends, you know what? What an example. And we can go on. We can look at Daniel. Think of Daniel. Well, what a beautiful, and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know that story, don't you, Will? Think about it. They know the will of God. Think of Daniel. He knew it was God's will that he should not pray to the king, to the king's, the God of the king, but rather open his door 3 days, three times a day, and pray towards Jerusalem openly. And we know the story, don't we, Cole? What happened to Daniel when he prayed? He was thrown where? He was taken and thrown into the lion's? The lion's den. And there in the lion's den, you say, how can that be God's there? It was. It was the will of God. Because it was in the midst of God's will, God provided protection, didn't He? And shut the very mouths of the lions. God's provision, God's protection. Number three, God's power. God's power. The church as a whole today and Christians lack the power of God. We lack the power of God in our preaching. We lack the power of God in our churches. We lack the power of God in witnessing. We lack the power of God in raising our families and having the marriages God desires for us to have. When I mean the power of God, His evident hand, His evident work. That we're not trusting in the arm of our flesh. You know what you'll find in the center of God's will? The availability of God's power. Elijah demonstrates that to us over and over again. We see God's provision in the ravens. We see God's protection. We see God's power. He goes on, and God tells him to go to Zarephath. And there in Zarephath, what does God do? Demonstrates His power, doesn't He? His power and provision. That the barrel of meal never wasted and the cruse of oil never ran low. There in Zarephath, even a greater demonstration was had, wasn't it? As the widow woman's son died. Again, according to the word of the Lord. Look three things. Look at verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, and He gives him instruction. And Elijah does what God instructs him to do. In verse number, Elijah says, go. And take care of the barrel and the oil. And in verse number 16, the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which He spake by Elijah. And it came to pass, after these sayings of the son, verse 17, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou coming to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft and where he bode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him into his mother. Elijah said, see, my son liveth. I love that. See? No big deal. See? See? You know what faith will do? When you trust God and say, God, I need You. I need You to work in this situation in which I find no answer and I find no strength in which to accomplish myself. God and our faith will translate into something that can be seen in the result of trusting God. The woman said to Elijah, Verse 24, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." Why? You know what God's power does? God's power is available to accomplish the will of God. God's power is seen when we put our faith in His Word. We trust His Word. We seek His work. You know what it does? Not only does it encourage and boost our faith, but listen to me, it is a testimony to those around us. Daddies, listen. You say, "I feel like my wife and my children don't respect me." May it be that you need the power of God. You need to get a hold of God, and you need to see God do some great things in your family. They don't trust you. They don't want to follow you because they don't see God's hand upon you. That's humbling. You say, "What am I to do, Pastor? Am I to go and raise up the dead, the alive again?" No. A good start would be on you getting on your knees every morning, begging God for His power, seeking His will, and letting God speak for Himself. Just being simply a vessel fit to be used by Him. You know what you need in your family? You need answers to prayer. Your wife, husbands, that's what your wife needs to see. That's what your children need to see. Listen to me now. Listen, boys. Hey, listen up here now. You need to hear what I'm saying. They need to see God's power. Our children are growing up in homes in which, you know what? Nothing of note happens. And oftentimes as parents, we feel, "Oh, I've got to protect my child from this situation." Why not gather your children and pray with them and say, "Listen, there's a great need. Let us pray together and see what God will do." You want to boost your children's faith? Let them see answers to prayer. Let them see that dad and that mom, people of God. Instead of running around stressed out, right? Sitting there griping and complaining. You know how we get sometimes? What a testimony it would be, wouldn't it? If when a trial happened, when something horrible happened, that immediately, instead of fretting and worrying and griping and complaining, we grabbed our family together and said, "We've got to go pray." And that is the response. And if you'll get in the will of God, you'll find God's power there. Lastly, in God's will, in God's there, God prepares. You know, God may have something more for you to do. There are times as a pastor, you know, as a young man, I wondered, "God, why do you have me here? I don't want to be here." But I knew it to be His will. There were times at the church we were at in Texas where things were difficult and things were hard and unkind and ungodly things were being said and accusations were being made. Now listen, and I didn't like it. I said, "God, I don't want to be here. I don't like it here. In fact, it's hard and it's miserable." But I look back now and you know what I see? It was preparation. Preparation. God said, "I've got something greater for you to do and something different for you to do. You need to go through this. You need to go through this." And I couldn't see it at the time. Oftentimes we can't, can we? It's hard to see the preparing and the preparatory hand of God in our situations. All we can see is the circumstances. That's why we just got to trust the Lord. Lord, and you know what, isn't it the truth? Lord, just saying to Him, "Lord, I know that everything that's happening to me happens for my good. And I know you've got something for me. So Lord, teach me. Teach me. I'll be a good student. I'll learn. Elijah was being prepared, wasn't he? Prepared for that day in which he was going to have to stand there in front of Ahab on the mountain, in front of all the people. Be confronted by hundreds of prophets of Baal. Could you imagine that situation? You ever had a fear of failure? I do. I fear failing. I hate failing. Could you imagine? I can't go into Elijah's mind, but I'm just being a man like us. He was a man of like passions, the Bible says. Standing there, and God is directing him and telling him that, you know what I want you to do is take that sacrifice, and I want you to douse it in water, and I want you to pray, and I'll take care of the rest. Do you think that maybe all that he went through at the brook and there in Zarephath prepared him for that? You know, the things God is teaching you now and preparing you for now, even the little things that you're going through, the trials and which you're seeking answers to, is more than likely preparation for even something greater for God. What a blessing. He never puts us in a place where we aren't able to accomplish by His grace what He's set out for us to do. There's one thing I'd like you to understand, whether you're young or old. Listen to me, children. Find God's will and do it. Find it. Search for it. Seek it. Say, God, teach me your will. I delight to do it. Teach it to me. Give me wisdom. The first thing that you can do, if you want to know God's will, you can perform that living sacrifice is spoken of in Romans chapter 12, right? Where Paul says to the brethren there in Rome, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Right? And in doing that, you can be assured that God will reveal to you His will in His time. Do what you know to be His will now. Amen? How do you expect God to reveal to you any further instructions unless you're doing what He's already instructed you to do? Fine. Listen to me, Michael. Find the will of God and do it. And you'll never lack for God's blessing and for God's grace. I stand here as a testimony to that. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God has placed me and my family here. You know what I find? That when people know the will of God, there's a certain stability and root. The trials won't shake you. But if you're just wandering about, sort of taking the old dart out and just throwing it, okay, maybe that's it. You'll find yourself shaken because you'll be lacking the provision, the protection, the power and preparation that God's will provides. Find it. Do it. Watch God bless. Amen. Let's pray.